Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 4th, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page XVII in the doctor's opinion, reading from the third line down. Beginning, the doctor writes, and we'll read for six paragraphs. Today's readers are Mariana D. on the 12 Steps, Cecilia H. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the texts are Jordan L., Pia S., and Julie E.B. Today's share ID numbers are this morning, January 4th, 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, the number is 12,382. That's 12382. And for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, January 3rd, the number is 12,379 or 12379. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mariana D. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Mariana D., the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Mariana D. And Cecilia H., would you please read our 12 traditions?
Good morning, this is Cecilia H. I'm a compulsive overeater, grateful for my daily reprieve. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Cecilia H. How our meetings work. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book on page XXVII, the third line down, the doctor writes. And I will ask Jordan L. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. So the reading says, the doctor writes, the subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a real sense of satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with our ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here, and with some misgiving, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive, and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and warily in the alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. So this is quite a mouthful. I had a lot of ideas that came to me as I was reading through this this morning. The first one being this real sense of satisfaction. That's sort of that's the same reaction that I have to being able to participate in this today. As far as like getting on the phone and making phone calls and receiving phone calls, and I don't know if I've said it before or not, but before A Vision for You, I would literally go for weeks without my phone ringing or without anyone calling me besides my boyfriend, which we lived together, so it was always about stupid stuff, like, can you pick up this from the grocery store or whatever, but weeks on end. And these days, like, I'll get 3 or 4 phone calls a day sometimes, you know? So this real sense of satisfaction from being able to participate in this is a very real thing in my life today. So are the powers of good. and the doctor's kind of talking about him not be, just for the simple fact that he's a doctor, and I think that people are paying for this treatment, but it can't have the same effect. The whatever he does, whether it's like, you know, listening to someone's fifth step, for instance, would be like this form of moral psychology. As a doctor, him listening to someone's fifth step is not as powerful because he's getting paid, he's a professional. It's like, not to say that you can't fist step with your doctor, because you most definitely can, but there's something very powerful in someone I don't know very well, a total stranger. The only real connection that I've made with them is that we're both compulsive overeaters and we both want to get well. listening to my fist step, being willing to just sit there and listen, because I mean, my sponsor said a couple of things during my fifth step. I don't remember what she said. Well, I remember a few of them. But just the fact that she was sitting, she was willing to sit there and listen to what it was that I had been running around in my mind for so long, had been absolutely plaguing me. And I didn't even know it until the words were coming out of my mouth, you know? but those powers of good, and also not even just my sponsor, but all the other men and women in my life that I have in my like spiritual circle, so to speak, being able to call them with anything, you know, that's incredible. That's something I've never had before. and I hope I get to provide that for someone else as well. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention, that last line, they believe in themselves. That was most definitely not something that I had before coming to OA and A Vision for You. I believed in serving myself. I believed in protecting myself and looking out for myself, and I was number one, and I needed to look out for myself because no one else was going to.
That's time.
I'll wrap it up, Kathy. So this idea now of believing in myself and even more in the power with a capital P, that's quite a change for me, quite a psychic change. So anyway, thanks so much for letting me share this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, who would like to share on what Jordan read this morning?
Jackie, okay.
I'm Aaron.
Okay,
Julie E.B.?
Wait a second, I only heard one, Marie J., I think.
John K.?
Wendy M.
Dana K.?
Okay, one second.
Julie K.
A. Dana K., Wendy M., okay, here's who I have right now. I have Marie J., John K., Dana K., Wendy M., and Julie E.B. One more, please.
Marissa E.
Oh, boy, you're all speaking at once.
Teresa E.
Was there someone with the last initial O?
Yeah, Beatrice.
Okay, Beatrice. We'll take Beatrice O. Okay, and I'll get the rest of you next time around. Okay, Marie J., please go ahead. Marie J.? Well, maybe there was no Marie J. John K., please share with us.
I'm sorry, did you say, John, I was the thing doesn't
yes.
thing?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. I actually wasn't planning on speaking today. I've been speaking a lot lately, but I had a real epiphany a few minutes ago about in while I was reading this, because I was actually listening to the earlier meeting. And, you know, in terms of the history of AA, I think the person who was it was most important for him to admit total powerlessness wasn't Bill Wilson. It was Dr. Silkworth. Think about it. You know, if you had some disease and you had gotten together with a few other people and think you found sort of a cure for it, and, you know, and you walked into a hospital and said, hey, we think we have something, and can we start talking to your patients about it? You'd be, you know, be thrown out on the sidewalk. And I think it same would have happened, you know, then, except Dr. Silkworth was out of ideas. The medical community was out of ideas. And the idea that he was willing to open himself to that possibility, first of all, the humility it took to do that. I can tell you, I know a lot of doctors, they're not that humility, you know, they're not that humble, was the key. And the more I think about it, it's that, in a lot of ways, if Dr. Silkworth hadn't done that and Bill Wilson had gotten sober, he might have gone and helped a few others he met through the Oxford group. Maybe went, you know, onto the streets and tried to help people. But the fact that he had a foothold in a hospital that treated other alcoholics allowed him to start to build something, and then to be able to have a letter in the book from an actual doctor gave them even more gravitas and made it more, you know, grounded in some kind of science. And I think part of it was Bill Wilson himself was not a hugely godly man. In fact, you know, he was big on William James, the writer, about this quote moral psychology. And James wasn't a preacher himself; he was a psychologist. And the fact that Bill might have been able to come back and talk to Dr. Silkworth sort of in his language, quote unquote. I mean, to me, this tells me why there's a higher power out there that put this together, because this combination of things and these people and the fact that Bill, you know, had the ability to take this and propagate it on, you know, it just tells me there's something here, you know, that some higher power was playing chess to get this whole thing started. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, John Kay. I want to check and see if Marie J. is on the line or if I got her name wrong. Okay, Dana Kay, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, visionaries. This is Dana Kay, a recovered, very grateful, compulsive overeater in Missouri. So thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and for everyone on the line, a warm welcome. So I'm going to read this one sentence here. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. What I hear in this from Dr. Silkworth is his pure excitement and his desire to share his wisdom that he has found through Bill W. and others outside of the realm of scientific approaches and to alcoholism, as that next paragraph says. And I think he must have been excited, this is just my own opinion, because he had labored long and wearily, it says, too, in this field of alcoholism. And he's owned that everything that he knows with all of his medical wisdom has not solved the problem for alcoholics. And so here lies the hope that we have today, that Bill W. began with a practical application of some ideas he had, shared them with others. The doctor, as John said, allowed his patients to hear this message, and there is recovery. So that's my hope today. And as a recovered woman today, this really challenges me to, I think, listen to others more, and also to share the hope that I've found through going through the 12 steps. The hope that when I have an argument with my husband, or maybe I should say a discussion, I'm not sure, but or with one of my young adult children, you know, taking the time to pause, taking the time to apply the principles I've learned through the 12 steps into the communication with them, to take a step back. No, I don't have to direct the show, and use my spiritual wisdom, connect into my higher power, because the last line says they believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. That is so good. It's so good. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dana K. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line with all of you. And Kathy, thank you so much for your service. So for me, first of all, the doctor's opinion is a game changer. Like, that's how I describe it when I'm about to read it to yet another prospect. It's a game changer because it's a shift in thinking. It's a radical shift in thinking, right? So the first thought is that this doctor humbly admitted his limitations and said, you know what? I don't have powers of good that lie outside. Yeah, that he has synthetic knowledge. He is not uniquely qualified. He's not an alcoholic, or in our case, an overeater, right? And so can you imagine if the doctor's like, at 8 years old, I went to a doctor and I was overweight, and he said, no more fried foods, and that was going to be the answer. You know, and the poor doctor was doing the best he could 1,000 years ago when I was 8 in order to, you know, try to alleviate my problem. But of course, you know, he can't do anything outside his synthetic knowledge, unless, of course, he's a compulsive overeater with a program. You know, and then when I got my tummy tucked and got my belly cut open so I could have a smaller belly, that was also, you know, a good idea. That was the best we could do at the time. And that was the doctor's solution that I went to this doctor. That was the solution. So thank God, you know, that in this moment, there's a gentleman with incredible amount of experience with this problem of alcoholism, drug addiction, you know, for him to say, you know what, I'm out of ideas. So that's a revolutionary moment right there. And then, you know, for him to allow Bill Wilson to apply this program, you know, and it's so sweet. He says, you have the privilege of being allowed to tell his story. Like, I just love that, you know, the privilege. I have the privilege this morning to tell my story to somebody else and to listen to their fifth step, you know, and I love that they had misgivings about it. They had misgivings because what are they doing? Like, you're not going to a doctor for the information. The story is within you, you know, your higher power is within you, and your story is the power, you know, your story does the trick. That's what heals us, is telling each other our stories and knowing we're uniquely qualified. That's a very powerful thing right there, you know. And then it finally says, I mean, of course, absence of profit motive. I always say to a sponsee, if they were paying me to listen to them, it would be a completely different paradigm, right? It would be completely different. But, you know, what this is about is a shift in thinking about doctors, and especially a shift in thinking about ourselves, that we are uniquely qualified to help each other, to tell our stories. And then finally, you know, we're uniquely qualified with the 12 steps, the practical application, to obviously unpack so that we can get to that power, so that, you know, we can get to God. And I have to say that lately, the way I'm getting to God is in that pause. That pause is particularly powerful And what it does is it stops me in my tracks. If I pause, I can have that game changer. I can have that moment, that revolutionary moment where I pause and I say, okay, God, I'm agitated and doubtful. I'm going to go to you for a new thought or a new idea. And it's just that I'm making the decision in this moment to believe that my higher power is everything and to believe that I can plug in right now with God, with God's light, with God's love, right? And that pause is the moment at which I can shift my thinking from crazy and dark and not good to God's got this, God's got me, you know? And when I do that pause, it takes just a nanosecond. I can be in God's world again. I can be useful. My thinking can shift from dark to light. And I can be, as I was saying, I can be useful. I can be unblocked at any moment.
That's time.
With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I just cannot believe how much Bill, when he writes this down, when he includes this letter from Dr. Silkworth, knows my story. You know, it says here that I was afflicted, and afflicted means to be struck down. And so if there's anyone listening that's still suffering today, that is afflicted, struck down. I was struck down. I was bedbound. I was 300 pounds. I was screaming in pain. I had 6 medical specialists. Some of you have heard this before. And today, I walk around a free woman, maintaining 160 pounds, and better yet, maintaining a whole different way of life. It says here, that this, they seem, he's surprised when they seem to come back and behave unselfishly. He's surprised. What does it mean to be self-centered? And what is the treatment for that? Some of us on the line are still continuing daily in 10 and 11 and 12 to look at what it means. The opposite of self-centered is to think of the needs of others and to work for them. So when I pray about my character defects, depending on other people, places, things, and this food, or depending on God for care and protection and direction and connection and security and self-love, it's of paramount importance to me that these things are totally outside my synthetic knowledge. I would spend hours spinning the brainstorm, or I'd extend it to other people. I call it the talk storm. And I would just talk and talk and talk about how I know and analyze other people. And none of it allowed me to access what he calls the power of good that lies outside our synthetic knowledge. I had an idea of a God, but that God could not solve my daily problems because I did not have a way to let that God talk to my disease. I thought that God had abandoned me, let me be struck down into my disease. And so he put these into practical applications. This is the privilege to have practical application. And this, I believe now in myself and still more in the power which pulls chronic compulsive overeaters, undereaters, anorexic, bulimic, like myself, back from the gates of death. I was on the gates of death. And as I watch even family member get into the food and get less and less able to move, I realize what a prison it is. And to be struck down, just know this, everyone on this line can be a hand reaching out to you. So reach out to us or put your name out as a newcomer and let others reach out their hands so that as you're struck down, you can be helped up. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Beatrice O., please share with us. Press star 1.
Hi, this is Beatrice O. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. So
I love the doctor's opinion because this whole chapter is elegantly written, because in the beginning they're talking about, you know, he talks about the alcoholic torture and the mental defects. But when we get into the what the doctor writes, he includes the word addiction, which in today's terms, it's a medical disease. It's a structural changes in the brain for a real addiction, which they didn't have that back then. So if I kind of change it and I say long time that some form of moral psychology, I think for me it's a spiritual experience. So here's the top doctor, one of the top doctors on alcoholism and addiction at the time. He's saying that he knows that a doctor isn't capable. He isn't capable of giving the alcoholic what he needs. And when he says, perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good. And I look at that and say, he's not equipped to apply the power of God that lies outside his knowledge, a doctor's knowledge. And so the moral psychology, I view that as a spiritual experience, and the power of good, I look at that as God. And then later on, while you're finishing this page, it says, they believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls a chronic alcoholic back in the gates of death. And I need to look at that. And I, for myself, I have to say, do I believe in a power which can pull me out from the gates of death and addiction and obesity and diabetes and everything that goes along with food addiction? So I have to turn it around to myself. Do I believe? Here are these doctors, top doctors, and they can't do anything. They're basically saying, he's basically saying for me is, I can't do anything for you. Only God can. And that's a real humbling place to be. And it's beautiful. Anyway, with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. Okay, I'll now take some more names of people who would like to share. One of
Martha
them.
Martha E.
Martha E.
Okay,
Penny
L.C. Marissa E. Penny L.C.
Robin P.
Robin B.
O.A.P.
Who was that? Oh, Sherry C.B., right? Sherry C.B.?
Sherry
K.B., right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mo
H. And one more.
Aaron D.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Who is the gentleman? Aaron, was it?
Yes, Aaron D.
Okay, we'll stop there. I'm sorry. We may have more time, and if we do, I'll take the others. Okay, Marissa E., please get us started.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Happy to be on the line. I just want to talk about this line. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. And I looked up amazing, and of course, there's a bunch of synonyms, but one is to surprise someone greatly, to fill with astonishment, to, you know, fill with wonder. And then this actually reminded me on page 133 in the family afterward, they talk about health again, so relating to doctors and the body. And it says here that we who have recovered from serious drinking are miracles of mental health.
Right, so I, who have recovered from serious compulsive overeating, I'm a miracle. It's a miracle that we are all on this line, right? Waking up one day at a time and, you know, we have entire abstinence. We are having this profound spiritual awakening. And, you know, if a doctor had been tracking my weight the past 10 years, if a psychiatrist had been tracking my mood the past probably 15 or 20 years, I was doomed. I was just going up, 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 up with my weight and going down, 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 down with my emotional health and well-being. And recently I celebrated 4 months of entire abstinence. And, you know, I've been coming to meetings for 10 years and I've been struggling. And you know, it's just, I wake up sometimes and I hear people share and I relate, or I listen to the special editions and I'll be able to reflect on just the profound difference. And, you know, it is truly, truly amazing. And I am filled with astonishment. I am surprised. I am shocked. And just so, so grateful, right, that by following these instructions and following these directions, right, it has come true for me. And if it has come true for me, it can come true for you. And so, I'm feeling really hopeful and inspired. And I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to share. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Penny LC, please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your service. And good morning to you and everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And as I was reflecting on listening to some of the other shares and what we had read in this passage, I couldn't help but think that, first of all, it was very humbling for Dr. Silkworth to be willing to consider letting these gentlemen come into his hospital and talk to his patients. And I think about that in any other context. I can't imagine a physician today in a hospital having somebody walk in and say, you know, I have a cure for your patient with this disease, and if you'll just let me talk to them, boy, I can do wonders. And, you know, yes, he knew Bill's experience, and that was what made the difference. But still, overall, I think about it in terms of the patient's point of view. Can you imagine when these strangers walk in and say, I have this cure for you? Well, not a cure, but I have this process for you to be recovered. And yet, but who are you? You're just people off the street. I've come and I've put my hands in the medical profession. That's the only thing I think I can trust, but you're asking me to trust you. And why did that work? How could that work? It kind of, you know, goes against all logic, except that it was God-given and it was God-intended. You know, higher power was there having this process unfold to give us all this solution to this freedom that we can have one day at a time. And it's amazing, just amazing that minds were opened, you know, people were willing to consider. And because of it, you know, what has happened? Amazing, a revolution that we today have this program that gives us the ability to be free from such devastation. And I'm so grateful to be free, and I'm so grateful that if I'd been that patient laying in that bed, that I would have been open to thinking about what these gentlemen were proposing and be open to a new idea. And it's astounding, but it's that power of good that was right there, having that all unfold. And I'm grateful today to be able to be walking in that, the light of that power of good. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny LC. Robin P., please go ahead. Robin, plus star one.
Hi, this is Robin. Sorry about that. I was muted. This is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater on the road towards Florida. And I just really appreciate this. You know, I was thinking about how miraculous this is. And it, you know, the confluence of events, you know, that a doctor would be this open, and as people have been sharing. And, you know, it takes a very special doctor to do that, to, first of all, you know, that's how they make their living. And for somebody to come in and say, we have a solution of a spiritual variety that's free, and that we have this community of souls that are helping each other for free, and he's sharing this in his alcoholism hospital. You know, it's really miraculous. Like, I just can't imagine that happening in a cancer hospital or something today. That would be astonishing. And just miraculous that he was open to this. There were so many things had to really come together for good. Like, angels were everywhere, you know, for that to happen. And I've experienced those kind of blessings and miracles and confluence of events and angels showing up out of nowhere, quote unquote, in my own life and in my own recovery. And I believe that you just keep taking the next right actions and the angels show up. And that's what I've experienced myself. And being of service, these people were willing to be of service, and it was free. And that's a miracle, that I could have been given a gift so freely given, and I get to share that with others so freely as well. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time with people, and people have spent a lot of time with me. And time is the most precious commodity we have. And it's really, you know, one angel at a time. And you know, and passing it on through the generations. And I have grand sponsors and that kind of thing. And it's all such a blessing. Everybody willing to go to any lengths to recover on behalf of themselves and others. And it's truly a miracle. It's a modern-day miracle. And the way that, and Dr. Silkwood giving his credibility, you know, as an inventor myself, it's such a blessing. I've actually partnered with a famous hospital on one of my inventions, and it made such a difference. People love that medical credibility. It's a huge blessing. So I know this was a huge differentiator for Bill and Bob as well. So with that, I pass. Thank you. God bless everybody in your recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. You know, I'm just amazed at this doctor, because if it weren't for him, none of us would be here on the line today. What I like is the fact that he respects this group of people and loves them so much that he's telling us that even he could not help us, but that something outside of his synthetic knowledge could help us. And so that, to me, is telling me that if a doctor can't help me, what makes me think that I can do this by myself and figure this out by myself? And I've always been told that, you know, figuring it out isn't one of my slogans. So it's telling me that I need to rely on a power greater than myself, but it's going to require me to do some practical application. And what is that? At once, it's putting down the food, it's getting into the step work. And living my life on an altruistic plane is helping others, being of service. It's also that I have to live in this work, live it every day, live in 10, 11, and 12, change my attitude and my thinking, and the only real thing that can do that is my higher power. I cannot remove my character defects. Only my higher power can. But when I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, I'm turning my will and my life over to that power that will pull me out of the gates of death, and continue to do that if I turn my will and my life over to that power with a capital P. And chronic, you know, I always think about that word chronic, and it means ever-present, always there. It's never going to go away. So I'm a chronic compulsive overeater. And so I know that I have to do this work every day. If not, I will be back in the gates of death, and without my higher power's help. And to in order to do that, I need to work with others. I need to be of service, be of maximum service to God and to the people about me. And just how important the step work is. A lot of people want to get through the steps and then be done. And that's just the beginning, really. It's like the absence is the ticket in the door. The steps are the ride. But if you want to continue on the adventure, you have to live in these steps and continue to work the steps and to, you know, work with others and help others. That's what I do know for me. And without my higher power, I couldn't do this. And I never want to forget this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Mo H., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and all those on the line and all the great shares and this wonderful, great reading. Paramount importance. Yes, this subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted. Yes, this book is, once it was opened to me by my Ebby 3 years ago, became paramount importance to me, and I had been in the rooms 25 years. And this book is what I live by now, what I help my sponsees with now, and it really speaks to me every sentence, every word. The other thing, what masterly detail. Bill was graced by God and all those who helped him write these words, that it was all done, oops, forgot to start my timer, masterly detail. It was done in great, with great love and great caring to help others. And yes, they believe in themselves still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. This did pull me back from the gates of death. I was face down into the sugar about 3 years ago at this time, and this book, my sponsor, pulled me back from the gates of death. The thing I was thinking about is Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic or compulsive overeater who still suffers. Our primary purpose is to carry this message. And recently I had a physical with my doctor, and because of my back issues, I wanted to adjust my food plan. I hadn't been able to exercise in months, and I asked to see a dietitian, and she kind of poo-pooed that idea, and I've talked to her about my program, and she told me to get a buddy. You know, she looked at my daughter, and she said, all you need is a buddy. Well, yes, I need a buddy, but my daughter is not in program. My daughter doesn't understand my disease. I need you people. You are my buddies. I need you to help me, and you to help me walk through whatever is going on. And so, you know, we need to keep helping our medical profession out these days, because not all of them understand. And I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me share, and everyone have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Mo H. Erin D., you'll be our last share, and I'm going to ask you to take 2 minutes so we can end on time. Thank you, Erin.
Hi, this is Erin D. I just want to say that this is such an important part of the book that we read today, because we get to see or hear the bird's eye view of someone who was not a member of the fellowship, but someone who really, but someone who had the opportunity to observe how things worked. And I think that one of the things that really kind of stuck out to me is the fact that Dr. Silkworth got to see people sharing their experience, strength, and hope with other alcoholics. And it's a reminder, to me anyways, of the good things that can come, you know, when we take the time to do that. And also a reminder, too, of, you know, of not just the good things that come for the people that we share with, but also for us, you know. We become selfish or self-centered, you know, and even more dependent on the power, which you might call God, you know, pulls us back from the gates of death. And, you know, it's so important for us to remember that 12th step, you know, to call that we have a call to carry the message to the compulsive overeater that's still struggling, and to remember what the effects of that can be. And you know, Dr. Chilsworth outlines that quite clearly in the doctor's opinion. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Aaron D., and thank you to everyone who has shared today and listened. It was a great meeting. Thank you all. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Pia S., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Kathy, for your service. This is Pia S., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Parkland, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. God, as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.